Preach the word, brother.
Thank you. The Lord bless you and keep you. El Señor te bendiga y te guarda. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Isn't that just a wonderful thought? The Lord making his face shine upon you. El Señor te mira con agrado y te extiende su amor. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. El Señor te muestra su favor y te concede la paz. Isn't it a beautiful day? I love days. I know I say it every week, but it's true every week. I love worshiping the Father with all of you. I love coming together with my brothers and sisters in Christ and praising the Lord, singing hallelujah. And that word hallelujah simply, well, not simply, but means a shout of joy, a shout of thanks, a shout of praise. We often hear this term or even use this term when something good has happened to us. Maybe it's something we've eagerly been waiting for. Maybe we got this promotion at work and we say, hallelujah, I got the promotion. Maybe we finally find ourselves a place to live and we say, hallelujah, I got my house. Or maybe you paid off your house and you say, hallelujah, I don't have a mortgage anymore. Whatever the case is, we use the word. And when we use the word, it's a shout. It's a shout of joy, a shout of thanks, a shout of praise. And I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, there is a lot to praise the Lord for. The song we just sang says, you give life. Isn't that awesome? You give life. When I love that song. And one of the reasons I love that song is because back in Genesis chapter 2, God says he breathed the breath of life into man, right? When he created man, he gave him the breath of life. And in the song that we just sang, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you. And I put that connection there, and I did the first time I ever sang the song. That was my connection. And so when I think of the words that I'm speaking, I'm thinking that all of the words that I'm speaking are the very breath of life that God has given me. And so when I pour out my praise, it ought to be praise to the Father because he gave me life. In Genesis 2 and verse 7, then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. He made man from the dust of the ground. I just want you to think about that a second. And maybe when you go outside later on today, maybe as you're walking up to your house, you walk into your garden and you grab a hand of that dirt. Or, if you really want to get technical, you walk to your windowsill. I know I can. Some of you may not be able to, but I can. You go to your windowsill and you run your hands across it and you get that on your hands. God made us out of the dust of the ground. He took that dust and he created us. Is that not amazing? Absolutely astounding. When we sing, our God is an awesome God, do we not understand those words that he made us from the dust of the ground? Do you know that out of that dust, he created something so awesome? Have any of you ever studied anatomy? Maybe some of you have, and I know when I'm done here, Stuart may have to correct some of me because I'm going to talk about the eyes in a little bit, but anatomy is an absolutely amazing subject. All the arteries and veins and capillaries of a human child, okay, of a child stretched end to end. I want you to think about that. Of a child, Dawson, all of your arteries, all of your veins, and all of your capillaries stretched end to end, is 60,000 miles. That's 2.5 times around the earth. Is that not amazing to you? And if you're an adult like his grandfather, Paul, there, then it's 100,000 miles. And it's 4 times around the planet. From the dust of the ground, he created the human body with arteries and veins and capillaries. Now, I'm 5'9 and a half, and I've got to get that half out there. I'm 5'9, and I don't even comprehend 100,000 miles. Maybe I can comprehend 4.5 times around the earth, but the distance escapes me, thinking that I have that much in length of arteries and veins and capillaries. The human body is amazing. Do you know you have 25 feet of intestines? The ceiling's 28 feet from floor to ceiling. Inside your body, inside this part of your body, you have 25 feet of intestines that all started out as dust of the ground. What about your eyes? That's, to me, the eyes are the most amazing, well, not most, but they are a very amazing part of my body. You know, because when you have eyes, you have two eyes, right? And so have you ever done this little trick? Have you ever kind of gone, you know, you close one eye and then you close the other eye, you blink back and forth, and you know your perspective is just a little different, right? Because they're two different eyes. So you're seeing from here and you're seeing from here. Do you know that your brain combines that image into one? You have two distinctly different images going into your eyes, and your brain combines those two distinctly different images into one. Where did your eyes come from? The dust of the ground. God made them. And that's not all. Do you know that your eyes are, your lenses are concave. They're not flat. And so when the light goes in, it kind of goes in and it ends up upside down. Do you know that your eyes see everything upside down, but your brain flips it right side up? Is that not amazing to you? And not only did God create us from the dust of the ground, he gave us the ability to create more humans. God takes the dust of the ground, creates man, takes man's rib and creates woman, and then he gives us the ability to create more humans. The human egg is about as thick as a human hair. It's 1/10 of a millimeter. It is cell in the body that you can see with the naked eye. That means it's the largest cell in the body. The human egg, this is the it's a particular stage of the human egg that's 1/10 of a millimeter thick, about the width of a head of hair, a piece of hair. Yet, that embryo, that egg produces arms, produces legs. It produces the very brain that we use to flip our image so that we can see, the brain that we use to combine the two distinct images that we see. How does it do that? It does that because God gave us a DNA code. And that DNA code tells that egg that this is what I want you to create. Is that not amazing to you? No wonder we call it the miracle of childbirth. Hallelujah! I can't believe that he gave us the ability to create life. That in itself amazes me, considering I came from the dust of the ground. He created us. He gave us life. He put the breath of life in us. So every breath that we put out ought to be a hallelujah. It ought to be a shout of joy, a shout of thanks and praise to God for the life that He has given us. One of the lines in that song says, "You bring light to the darkness." You know, this phrase has several different applications because God did literally bring light to the darkness, and He did so in creation. In Genesis 1, starting in verse 3, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." That's the first day. He created light, and He separated light from darkness, and He says, day and night. Now, we often say to ourselves that the sun gives us light, you know, and of course, the earth rotates on its axis, and the earth rotates around the sun. And so as the earth rotates, the sun disappears behind the earth, and we call that night, right? Day and night. Well, before God ever created the sun, before God ever created the heavens, He created light and separated it from darkness, and He called the light day and the darkness night. Now, He did create lights in the heavens to rule the seasons, the day and the night and the darkness. And that's absolutely amazing to me. We're going to get there in a second. We'll read that text in Genesis 1. But do you know that of these nine planets that rotate around the sun, do you know that some of the rotations cross each other? When was the last time that the earth ran into Mars? Oh, it hasn't, has it? Is that not amazing to you? That even though some of the rotations cross paths, none of the planets have ever hit each other. In Genesis 1, starting in 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night." Remember, God said, let there be light. And He called the light day and the darkness night. And then, He made the lights in the heavens to rule over the day and over the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So God literally created light. But when our song says, "You bring light to the darkness," He's not just talking about physical light that we receive. He's also talking about righteousness. Because God brought light into a world that was full of darkness or evil. In John 1, starting in verse 1, and I want to read all, I know we only normally read verse 1, I want to read all the way to verse 5 this morning. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life." Oh, listen to this. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Evil cannot overcome righteousness. There may be points of time in this world where it seems that way, where it seems like evil may have won, but evil cannot overcome righteousness. God has won. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. God wins. We win. Remain steadfast. Remain firmly planted because we win. When this earth is over and God comes to get us, we win. Because evil cannot overcome righteousness. However, like I said, it may seem so sometimes. And I'm kind of paraphrasing Romans chapter 1, verse 25 here. Because in the very world that God created, in the very world that God spoke into existence. His creation, humanity, it would seem, would rather worship evil. They would rather worship Satan instead of the Creator. We see, just look around us. I'm not saying us as Christians. I'm saying humanity in general. Just look around us and see where we are in this world. See what people want to legislate and to say that it's okay to do these evil things. See what people say, well, you know what? That's your truth. My truth is different. No, there is only one truth. And that is Jesus, the righteous. Just recently, you know, I'm retired Air Force, y'all know that. And so anything in the news to do with the Air Force, it kind of piques my interest. And of course, you remember a year or so ago when our president said he's going to create a Space Force and that the Air Force was going to run it. And I was like, oh, hey, man, I want to know all about that. Well, that just came into existence. Do you know that? He just swore in the general who is going to be the head of the Space Force. And when the general was sworn in, he had a Bible. I want you to listen to this. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation, this is a quote from them, condemns in as a full-throated a manner as is humanly possible, listen to this, shocking and repulsive display of only the most vile, exclusivist, fundamentalist Christian supremacy. Does that look vile to you? Does that look repulsive to you? Do you see how they're trying to change the truth to a lie? There is only one truth, brothers and sisters. The good news is the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, nor will the darkness overcome it. Jesus has won. When he was nailed to the cross, when he cried out, "It is finished," he won. He broke the bonds of death, not only for him, but for us. We no longer have to die a spiritual death because the light, because righteousness has overcome evil. We can rise again in newness of life so that when Jesus comes, we'll rise with him. And that's where we come to this last part, this last phrase in the song that I want to get to. He restores every heart that is broken. What a beautiful, beautiful phrase. Because I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, brokenness is real. It absolutely is. Most of you know, I was 28 years old before I became a Christian. I did not always lead a Christian life. Matter of fact, my wife will say that she was a pagan and I was a heathen, and we were practicing. We were living that life of sin until we recognized who we were in relation to who God is. And we fell at the foot of Jesus. We had our sins washed away. Because you see, sin separated us. Sin has broken us. Sin has facilitated our ability to create a world where we honor that which is created instead of the Creator. You don't have to look too far away from you to see the people who are broken and hurting. There may be some here in this auditorium this morning where there are definitely those in our community. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's the person in line with you at the grocery store. Maybe it's the person who is doing their laundry with you at the laundromat. Maybe it's the person pumping gas next to you at the convenience store. You don't have to look too far. It's there. Does that person know that Jesus restores every heart that is broken? That word restore, you know what that word means in the Greek? put into proper condition. And just, you know, I've had several questions, and I want that little on the end there, BDAG, that is just the lexicon, okay? I use a Greek-English lexicon, Greek-English-American lexicon, and that is the initials of the lexicon. That's not my definition. There's a lot of scholars that put that together. So when you see that BDAG on the end, that is just the lexicon that I use to translate or help me understand what Greek words mean in English. And this Greek word restore means to put in proper condition. Now, don't you find it interesting what our proper condition is? If to restore is to put us into proper condition, and restore means to put us in a right condition with God, then our proper condition is a right relationship with the Father. Our proper condition is the relationship that Adam and Eve had with God in the garden before they sinned. And we long for that relationship, don't we? When we're broken, we want that relationship. And Jesus restores that relationship. Broke. Our proper condition. Get this. Our proper condition is to be in a relationship with God through His Son. Anything else, everything else, is brokenness. Do we understand that? You may see the wealthy man who has a beautiful house and a garage full of cars. If he is not in a relationship with God through His Son Jesus, he is broken. You may see man who lives on the street, or the woman who lives on the street. And it's easier to think that they're broken just by living on the street. But do you know, if they are in the proper relationship with God, they are not broken. Brokenness does not have to do with the external things that we deal with. Brokenness has to do with our relationship to God. And if we are not in a proper relationship with Him, then we are broken. And it is only Jesus. Get this, it is only Jesus who can restore us to that proper condition or that proper relationship. In Colossians 2, starting in verse 11, in Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. You see, it's the powerful working of God. When we mimic Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and whomever it is that is dunking us in the water, when we go, we are crying out for the powerful working of God to restore us to a proper relationship. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt. That's either the old law or anything other than Jesus here. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This, listen to this, He set aside, nailing it to the cross. It is only that sacrifice, it is only that crucifixion of Jesus, the Messiah, that brings us into a proper relationship. We can so easily find ourselves at the end of our rope, can we not? Without Jesus, the end of our rope is very near. But I would say, let go of the rope and fall into the arms of a loving Savior who wants to restore your brokenness. Let me read to you the couple of lines of this song. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you find yourself broken this morning, if you find yourself not in a relationship with God through His Son Jesus, man, let God restore you. Please. Let God restore you through His Son Jesus. Let God bring you back. Come sit up front. One of our elders will sit with you and you can tell him, I want God to restore me through Jesus. And you can die to yourself just as Jesus died and was buried. You can die and be buried. Your sins will be washed away and you'll be raised to walk in newness of life. You'll be raised into a right relationship, into the garden relationship with the Father through the Son. If you need prayers, don't hesitate. If you've not written it down on one of the cards and you're afraid to walk down front, grab somebody. Grab one of the elders. Grab one of the deacons. Grab me. Grab somebody and say, would you please pray with me? And we absolutely will. We'll pull you aside to maybe a side of the building or maybe even go to a different room. And we will bow our heads and we will beseech the Almighty Father on your behalf. Let us know if you have need while we stand and while we sing.